Sixth case of the day, Marion versus the City of Corydon et al. Mr. Schaefer?
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Ronnie Shefford, and with William Burnham, I represent with Trent Marion in this case. In January 2006, Mr. Marion, at the end of a chase by two Indiana State Police officers, two officers from the New Albany Police Department and officers from the City of Corydon and Harrison County, with his car stopped in the median and with three flat tires, had 21 shots fired by five of those officers.
And was he shot anywhere?
His right eye was shot out.
Right eye.
His right eye was shot out. He has no eye there now. His right wrist was shattered, and his left wrist and hand were shot.
So then there were three bullet wounds that he sustained.
Yes, Your Honor.
Those. And but at the time that it happened, he had already assaulted a police officer. He had rammed a police vehicle. He had run civilian cars off the road. The police, he led them on a high-speed chase for more than 20 miles. So we're not just talking about them opening fire on an unarmed shoplifter, are we?
Yes, Your Honor, we are. The altercation with the police officer took place in Louisville, Kentucky, at the Kroger store where he had a daughter with him, and he had stolen some meat at that store, and he scuffled with the officer to get away and got in his car, and then the chase ensued after that. There were no civilian vehicles that were involved in the collision. There were no civilian vehicles that were run off the road by his action.
Well, Shepard, when one examines the third tape, I have two inquiries for you. I'm not sure it's so clear that there was that the vehicle was stopped when the shots began. It looked like to me, in reviewing the tape, that he was traversing the median, and it was not such a great depression. Of course, I'm just reading it from the tape or viewing it from the tape, that he could not have reached the other side, where indeed vehicles were proceeding in the other direction. Do you have a different view of that tape? And it does seem that it may not have been a great distance, but that he was still going forward when to some extent when the shooting began.
Your Honor. At that point, Your Honor, he had run across the device that had been put in the road
right.
Deflate his tires. He had three flat tires on that vehicle.
Well, he had driven some distance on those tires, though.
Well, and pieces of equipment were flying off that
vehicle as if the
vehicle were coming apart, right.
But would a reasonable police officer, once they got to what seems to be the conclusion of the chase, not be of the view that he was attempting to cross the median into the other lane? Certainly the angle of the car seems to suggest that. Of course, the video is at a particular angle. I appreciate that.
A reasonable police officer, Your Honor, would not believe it necessary to protect himself confronted with a vehicle with three flat tires and is overheated, as this one was, sufficient to cause him to shoot into that vehicle, an unarmed man, 21 times. A reasonable police officer would not do that.
But I understand that the bullets... I mean, all the firing didn't take place all at once. It wasn't just 21 shots all at once. The tires were deflated. He goes down to 40 miles an hour. The tires begin to shred. Debris flies around. The officers have to swerve around. They try this rolling roadblock. That doesn't help. He tries to ram the officer's vehicle. Sadler then fires four shots at the engine's compartment. The engine component, tries to hit the engine. The pursuit still continues. He slows down, but then he turns into the median. I mean, they just can't seem to stop him. He gets in the mud. I mean, as I understand it, he starts to rev up again, and then six more shots are fired at the vehicle. He hits the accelerator. He's still moving. Then three more shots are fired at the vehicle. I know it all took place within a matter of seconds, but I mean, it seems that nothing happened as each of these rounds go off. He just keeps moving forward.
It seemed to me from that tape that it was a war zone. I mean, from the shots that you heard, certainly shots excessive to combat what these police officers were confronted with. It was obvious. Mr. Marion had no weapon. His hands could not have been to his arms had to be up like this for him
to
sustain.
But the officers didn't know that. They didn't know that he didn't have a weapon. In fact, the officers were informed by the Louisville Police Department that he was armed. In fact, there were a couple of inquiries during the course of the chase. One question over the radio says, "These guys are armed, right?"
Your Honor, the police officers' conduct isn't or wasn't consistent with that. If an officer believes or suspects that a driver of that automobile has a weapon, officers don't get out of their car, walk to the front of the car, two walk to the side of the car, one to the other side and one to the rear, if they really believe and suspect that he has a gun. And that's where these officers were who were firing the shots from the appearance. There was one in front. There were two to one side of the car. There was one to the other side of the car. There was one behind. That isn't something officers do if they feel the operator of that vehicle has a gun.
But the video shows him reaching across the front seat. I mean, to follow up on this issue of whether he was armed or not, doesn't it?
Well, the officers, by their affidavit, had said that as they observed him driving down the road, they suspected that he might have had a gun and been reaching for a gun.
But, and the video shows that. It shows at least him reaching across the front seat.
Well, I'm not sure that the video doesn't show his arms up like this, but they had to be like that for him to experience the wounds he did in his wrist, in both wrists, both his right and left.
Now, you make no argument in your brief that the district court erred in finding that the affidavit was untimely. Do you agree that the affidavit was untimely?
But the affidavit
was...
The
affidavit from your client.
Right. The affidavit was filed by him in our motion for the court to reconsider. I think that the video is evident that there was excessive force here and that the officers overreacted and did not do what a reasonable officer would have done under these circumstances.
Okay.
To me, it's obvious.
All right, you're not arguing that the affidavit was timely.
It was filed in support of our motion for the court to reconsider, Your Honor. That's right.
What would you say, Mr. Shepherd, to the argument that the duration of the chase reflected a desperation? Maybe that's inherent in any attempt at escape, but a desperation following the abandonment, indeed the apparent tossing away of an infant, and then even when the officers apparently were trying to cabin him on the highway with their positioning, he sought to avoid what could have been a collision with them. And then at the end, with no exit other than this median potential, seems to, at least from that one tape, the third tape, to me, try to cross it, that you had at hand, apart from this early report about being armed, an individual that was desperate beyond whatever would be the normal range of a chase. I know it's always hard to get in the mind of anyone, much less someone in this circumstance. Don't you think that arguably presents a picture that a reasonable officer would say that I'm not just getting the average fleeing felon?
Your Honor, my wife says I compare everything to baseball. I can't defend what he did. What Mr. Marion did in that chase was not smart.
No,
but the point of this case is, because he was involved in that chase, he was unarmed, he had a vehicle with three flat tires, it wasn't going to hurt anybody in that median. and the officers that were not justified and do not have the right, a reasonable officer, to fire into that vehicle 21 times. Not all nine of them did.
No, but if I could just stay with the median a second. When that third tape ends, and you see the obviously the traffic in the opposite direction stopped, and quite a number of cars, I wouldn't want to guess, but you can, I know you viewed it. If he had crossed the median and continued that escape, it certainly would have caused possible endangerment in a way that when he was going in the initial direction might not have. The traffic was seen to be lighter, but at least there was a real collection of vehicles that were halted at the end of that tape. And should that factor in at all, that he might have, that they thought he might have made it across the median?
No, Your Honor, it should not. I haven't driven with three flat tires, but I've driven with one. And driving a vehicle with three flat tires is not going to be a danger, and it's not going to last long.
He drove a few miles in that state in the initial direction, I don't know whether this was a four-wheel drive vehicle or not, but it might have had a capacity to at least reach the other side, I guess is my point, and present a unique endangerment that might not have existed in the initial direction that they were chasing him.
The bottom line, I think, Your Honor, is that there were means. He had driven probably as far as he could have driven on three flat tires with the way the equipment was flying off that car. It doesn't allow a reasonable police officer to shoot him and to fire into that vehicle 21 times.
Thank you. Mr. Lowe?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jeff Lowe, and I represent the Harrison County defendants, which include the County of Harrison, Indiana, Roy Wiseman, Kevin Taylor, and Bruce LeHue. We are here arguing that this court should affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the Harrison County defendants, and in fact in favor of all defendants, because the force used upon Mr. Marion throughout this process and throughout the seizure was objectively reasonable. This court knows the facts of this case, has viewed the videos obviously, and knows the egregious nature of these facts. The egregious nature of these facts extend beyond what the Supreme Court of the United States looked at in Scott versus Harris and determined that was sufficient to justify an officer's use of deadly force. In this case, as Judge Hamilton found in the lower court level, these facts are significantly more egregious than what happened in Scott versus Harris. Some of those facts we feel are important to point out are what happened in Kentucky with regard to the assault he made to the officer, throwing his baby into the car. Luckily, the baby was saved. Running into a private vehicle, nearly hitting an ambulance, nearly hitting two school buses, leading officers on an 80 to 90 mile an hour chase through residential streets of Louisville and onto the interstate and then into Indiana. Once into Indiana, he drove over stop sticks that deflated three of his tires. And counsel wants to say that how far was this vehicle going to go on one tire? Well, it had already gone 10 miles, had not stopped, had not shown any indication of stopping. At no point throughout this whole process did Mr. Marion ever give any indication that he was going to stop. That is confirmed by every affidavit submitted in this case, and it's further confirmed by the video. There at several times in the video, looking at Officer Alvey's video, the Louisville officer's video, Officer Denny's video, he had opportunities where he could stop. He didn't. He had no intention of stopping, and even the witness affidavits, the ones who are not don't have anything at issue in this case, pose that he posed a great risk of serious bodily harm to them, to the officers, and to everyone else. The use of force in this situation was objectively reasonable, which is the standard this court must look at. The factors the court looks at, severity of the crime, possible threat to safety of officers and other actors, actively resisting arrest, suspected of committing a crime, armed, and interfering with the officer's execution of their duties. Severity of the crime, clearly, this crime was severe. He was convicted of three different D felonies in Kentucky alone and has 11 felonies pending against him in the state of Indiana. Possible threat to the safety of officers and others, clearly a threat to the officers in the median who had exited their car. The officers' actions were objectively reasonable in exiting their car and trying to secure him. They knew they had to take force to do that because of his actions previously. He had not relented to force before, force used by a rolling roadblock, stop sticks, officers out of their car brandishing their weapons. They had to do something. They tried to box him in, and he was a definite threat, and a definite threat to the officers and the safety of the vehicles on the other, going in the other direction. One point that Judge Hamilton made at the district court level was not only did he risk a threat of crashing into vehicles in the eastbound lane, he presented a threat of getting out of his vehicle, commandeering another vehicle, and taking that person, putting that person at risk. So clearly, he was a possible threat. He was obviously actively resisting arrest. He resisted arrest from five different law enforcement officers or enforcement agencies. He was armed, or at least the officers thought he was armed.
Is shooting at the engine compartment of a car that's carrying a fleeing suspect, is that normal procedure when the stop sticks and the roadblocks fail?
The way I see that, Your Honor, is it can be, because here it wasn't used as an attempt to injure the individual. It was used as another attempt to use lawful force against someone who had already presented a deadly risk. At that point, he had presented a deadly risk, which justified the use of force. Clearly, if the court does find that the use was not objectively reasonable, the defendants are protected by the doctrine of qualified immunity, and that the case law was not clearly established, that the right narrowly tailored to this case was violated by the officer's actions. There are no closely analogous cases to this that support the plaintiff's view. Mr. Marion didn't submit any cases that say there's closely analogous case law that supports his point of view. In fact, the cases are the opposite. We've cited those in our brief. And clearly this was not conduct that was so egregious that no reasonable person could believe that it would violate the law. Therefore, the Harrison County defendants, including Officer Taylor, Officer Wiseman, and Officer LeHue, believe that they are entitled to summary judgment, were entitled to summary judgment, and are asking for this court to affirm the summary judgment, as well as Harrison County asking that because there's no constitutional violation against these officers, that there's no constitutional violation by the county. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Mr. Hinkle?
Good morning. May it please the court, Matt Hinkle for the town of Corydon and its officers Sadler and Stinson. When these officers received the dispatch from New Albany that there was an armed robbery suspect fleeing out of Louisville, Kentucky, the Corydon officers proceeded to the interchange at the 105-mile marker where other officers were already positioned to deploy a second set of stop sticks. So our officers positioned themselves there, and it was only moments later that Marion and a parade of police vehicles with their lights on, sirens blaring, came to the 105. Mr. Marion swerved around the stop sticks there, almost injuring officers positioned there, and proceeded on down the road. The Sadler and Stinson then got involved with the pursuit. Officer Sadler took the point position after a New Albany officer instructed they may want to try a rolling roadblock. During that rolling roadblock, Sadler was viewing Mr. Marion through his rearview mirror, and he observed Mr. Marion reach into the passenger side of the vehicle, and Sadler reasonably believed that that Marion was trying to reach for a weapon. It was at that point, as Judge Williams pointed out, that the suspect, Mr. Marion, proceeded along the shoulder in the grassy median trying to pass the rolling roadblock. And at that point, Officer Sadler fires four rounds into the right side engine compartment area, and undeterred, Marion drives down to the median. And what is significant, as I think Judge Flom pointed out, was that Mr. Marion almost made it to eastbound lanes of I-64. And there are photographs in the record which clearly show his tracks and that he almost got there, but he backs up, revving his engine because he was blocked off. And then he tries to take another angle, proceeding very close again to the eastbound lanes of 64 when a number of shots were fired. In this particular case, Judge Hamilton found that the shots were certainly reasonable, and that the lay witness affidavits and the unchallenged video supported his conclusion. He said it supported his conclusion with confidence. Here the court should consider that these officers were forced to make a split-second decision in a situation that was tense, it was uncertain, it was rapidly evolving. As Judge Hamilton pointed out, and relying on a case, Freeland, from the Sixth Circuit, it was certainly reasonable to consider that we could have a possible hostage situation. There were vehicles that were stopped in the eastbound lanes of 64, and Marion very easily could have taken a hostage. And these officers believed that he was armed. They had no reason to believe that he wasn't armed. Now, contrary to opposing counsel's comments, his actions during the pursuit confirmed what they were led to believe. Now, there are a number of cases where the facts support are more compelling here for the justified use of force. Cases even in this circuit, such as the Edinburgh case and the Boyda case, this case is more compelling for the use of force than in those cases. There are no, as Mr. Lowe stated, there are no closely analogous cases that Marion can point to that would show the use of force was unreasonable or that there was a clearly established right. However, there are a number of cases, such as the Supreme Court decision in Scott v. Harris, Brousseau, other cases from this circuit, which at the very minimum show the hazy border between what is acceptable and excessive force. Here, the border was not hazy. It was clear. The use of force was justified. And this judgment from the circuit court or the district court should be affirmed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bourne.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Tim Bourne from Evansville, and I represent the city of New Albany. I'm here to ask this court to affirm Judge Hamilton for three reasons with respect to the city of New Albany. First of all, its officer, Officer Denny, whose video is the one that the court perhaps relied upon most, that officer did not participate in any manner in any unconstitutional violation or violation of this plaintiff's rights. He didn't shoot. There is no search. There is no seizure under the 4th and 14th Amendment. He has been argued, at least below by plaintiffs, to have had some duty under Yang to intervene in some unconstitutional conduct by the other officers. We believe, as do counsel for the other defendants here, that none of the officers on the scene that day violated the plaintiff's rights. But even assuming arguendo that there was some violation, my client had a matter of seconds within which to react to the shots there at the scene. He is not, as we indicated in our brief below, Superman. He could not step in front of these bullets to prevent them from going anywhere. There was not any responsibility on my client's part to intervene under these circumstances. Lastly, there is no evidence below of a policy, practice, or procedure that's unconstitutional, and for that reason we ask the court affirm Judge Hamilton. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Bourne. Thank you. Mr. Schaefer, your time has expired, but you may have an additional 2 minutes.
Your Honor, at the time this pursuit began, the Indiana officers were not aware of anything that had taken place in Kentucky except it had been reported that there was an armed robbery, which was incorrect. Again, the position of the officers that they suspected that Mr. Marion had a weapon is not supported by their actions. If they suspected that he had a weapon driving down that highway, they would not have pulled one at the end of the chase. You see on the video, there's a vehicle in front of him, there's a vehicle behind him, there's a vehicle right on the passenger side. If they had suspected he was armed, they wouldn't pull that close to his vehicle. And there was nothing done by Mr. Marion at that time to cause them to suspect he had a gun. If he had, he would have used it at that time. And as I pointed out before, Mr. Marion would not have gotten out of the vehicle. I mean, the officers would not have gotten out of the vehicle, positioned themselves as they did, if they had suspicions that he had a weapon. With regard to the New Albany Police and the Indiana State Police, once discovery establishes that they didn't fire their weapon, and two Indiana State Police officers did not, I would agree that they would be dismissed. And the officers responsible for the injuries to Mr. Marion are the five officers who fired the 21 shots into this disabled vehicle. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Schaefer. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.